Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters. My name is Christian Redshaw, and with me is my co-host, Mr. Dominic Vogel. Dominic and I are doing the show, just the two of us together. Dominic, how's life today? How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's definitely odd not being next to you in the studio, Christian. So that's definitely taking a life onto its own. But I think our mental connection is as strong as ever. So I feel like we can anticipate each other's moves.
Yeah, I hope so. There's a slight delay in the transmission here, but we'll make the most of it. So we're in this interesting worldwide pandemic time here, and I think the biggest message that we would like to get out to you today is that now is the time to invest in cybersecurity. I think the instinct is to be defensive and to be reactive and to maybe deprioritize things like risk management, things like managing cyber risks in particular, which is what our show is about, tend to go on the back burner. And the thing to keep in mind is that the threats are still out there. In fact, because we would say there's a bigger remote workforce, the attack surface is bigger now. Cyber criminals are not gearing down, but they're gearing up in so many ways. So we want to encourage you to invest into it, prioritize it. Do not put it on the back burner because it's an existential risk, as Dominic often likes to say, for small and medium-sized businesses that don't have the war chest to ward off cyber attacks.
Absolutely. No, and definitely couldn't have said that better myself, Christian. You know, the things I'll quickly add to that is, you know, over the past month, as sort of the pandemic has started to really take a foothold in terms of how everyday life is evolving. And to your point there, you know, cyber criminals, they're like a shark smelling blood in the water. They're like a hunter seeing a wounded animal. Small and mid-sized businesses are being stretched super, super thin. And that whole notion of, you know, not including cybersecurity as part of survival mode, that is just a false sense of security. And I know something that you and I have always talked about and that I joke about as well is that we are in a digital economy. And unless you're selling tacos out of the back of your mom's Volvo, you need to deal with cybersecurity because you are a digital organization. So, you know, it's super important that small and mid-sized business leaders and owners understand that cybersecurity isn't something that you deal with just on a sunny day or when you feel like it. More so than any other time in the past 20 years, you should be focusing on it now. It is super critical. And just over the past month, we have seen cyber criminal attacks just go up like literally thousands of percent. I think I read somewhere that the ransomware attacks over the past, just the past 30 days have gone up something like 300%. So the numbers are there. So, you know, small and mid-sized business leaders, please, please include cybersecurity as part of your survival mode strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Dominic. Now, you mentioned ransomware, and we have talked quite a bit about ransomware over the last few months and last few years. There are other threats out there, too, or other ways that cyber criminals like to access sensitive information and monetize it. One of those ways is called credential stuffing. And I know that's something that you and I have talked a little bit about recently. It's something that we are seeing out there. Tell the viewers what credential stuffing is and what they can do to minimize the likelihood and impact of such an attack.
Absolutely. You know, and really what it comes down to is the fact that the majority of people still reuse the same passwords on multiple websites. So on some website that you maybe signed up for some freebie at one time and you create a username and password, people will use the same password there as they do on their online banking website. Or on streaming services like Disney Plus or online services like Zoom. You know, the media has been unfairly saying, oh, you know, Disney Plus was hacked or Zoom was hacked, you know, with all these accounts and credentials found. The platforms weren't hacked. All that was happened was that people had those usernames and passwords exposed in other data breaches, and they happened to match the same username and password that they use on Disney Plus or on Zoom. So credential stuffing is really you know, sort of the visual I like saying is let's say you have a bunch of envelopes and you try and stuff them into the mailbox. That's really what, and you sort of see what gets through. That's sort of what cyber criminals are trying to do. They have all these username and passwords, and they're just trying to stuff them all over the place and all sorts of different online services to sort of see what which accounts they're able to get into. So again, they're not necessarily hacking into the system. They're leveraging the fact that so many people reuse their passwords. And the two simplest ways that you can get past that, one is to use a password manager like LastPass. So at least that way, then you can create and auto-generate secure passwords for all whatever online sites that you use. And two, with where possible, leverage multi-factor authentication. So it's your username, password, and then a one-time PIN that maybe gets sent to your phone as an example.
Mm-hmm. So very simple takeaway there, and that image of envelopes getting stuffed into a mailbox, making the intangible tangible. Thank you. That's great. You mentioned Zoom there, and that ties into a point that that I wanted to highlight, which is making sure that you're tying security requirements into business requirements. Ties into the overall picture of security by design and doing things on the front end with security in mind, and whether it's your products or your services or your internal systems, making sure that you're factoring security in at the beginning, which has been an issue in the case of Zoom and their unfortunate reputational, hopefully minor reputational damage in the short run.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's two sides to that, in which, you know, there's the side from if you're an organization that builds platforms, that builds online services, especially if you're on the business side, not necessarily the technical side, but you need to understand that you need to deal with security, like you said there, Christian, from the get-go, security by design. And it's, you know, security practitioners, and I found it shocking that this CEO of Zoom said, you know, we didn't really think about security from the get-go. We never thought it would really be that important. And again, I believe him at his word, and I don't think he was
necessarily
trying to cut corners.
Yeah, credit to him for admitting that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I don't think he was trying to cut corners, but, you know, really, I think it comes down to this fundamental gap in that still so many business executives don't truly understand security, understand cyber risk and data risk, and what that means when they're developing these types of platforms. So I think that's one side. But on the other side is, if you're an organization and you need to use a video conferencing software or solution as an example, or you need to get some other IT collaboration tool, you know, it's disingenuous when people say, oh, you know, Zoom isn't secure enough. Secure enough for what? You know, security, and you and I have always said this, security is relative. It's not an absolute. You know, so if you just, and this comes down to knowing your business requirements. So if you, as an organization, want to use Zoom just for team meetings, you're not discussing anything confidential, yeah, it's secure enough. You know, if you're discussing M&A activity, yeah, now there's maybe some additional level of risk there. There's still some new controls that you can take to reduce the risk of using Zoom. But again, you need to understand and define your business requirements. To me, the example I give is when if someone was to buy a sedan and then complain later on that it didn't have 8 seats. Well, you need to define that as a requirement. If the number of seats or high number of seats is a requirement,
that's
define
called a minivan.
That first. Don't just buy a platform and complain about it later. So I think that's super important that businesses define truly what it is they need first before procuring a solution.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. So if you want 7 seats, the minivan is your option.
Exactly.
But you need to specify that. The final topic that I wanted to cover today, it's largely a reiteration of a point that has come up over and over again in conversations with clients and conversations with our guests in so many different ways. The idea of using your IT department or IT guy or IT managed service provider as your cybersecurity service provider and your leadership provider. What do we have to say today to companies who are in that position? who are currently relying on IT for the security function. I would say hopefully they're doing what they're doing securely from the IT perspective. How do you know that? How do you know unless you ask the right questions? I think good cybersecurity leadership in your organization starts with knowing what questions you should be asking yourselves and what are the right questions that you should be asking your IT provider. So first of all, Dominic, what's your take on that today? And what kind of questions do you think business leaders should be asking their IT people?
Absolutely. And you know, you bring up a really good point in which often it's to get good answers, you need to ask great questions, you know, and to me, one of the first elements of that is making sure that there isn't a fundamental gap between sort of the business and IT. You know, by asking those right questions, you can help bridge that gap. So going forward, when you're engaging with your IT team, your IT guy, your IT managed service provider, asking questions such as, you know, how are we verifying that the security controls we have in place? How do we know that they're actually operating as intended? You know, the security controls that we've deployed, you know, what risks are they addressing? You know, is this mapping back to some sort of organizational or security organizational framework, which we can at least show that we're taking a measured approach to security, that we're not just installing random, you know, security tools without following a methodical approach. You know, those to me, I think, are just some really great, simple starting dialogue questions to engage with your IT resources to make sure that security isn't done in an ad hoc fashion, but rather in through a governed approach and a risk-based approach as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to start things off. And obviously, in the big picture, you want to monitor and maintain and manage that relationship between yourselves and IT and be able to integrate the security component in from the beginning and then continuously improve that over time as that relationship matures.
Exactly. You know, and I think more than anything, it's making sure that as a business owner, as a business executive, you don't just blindly take IT or the IT service provider's word for it. You know, you need to, at the end of the day, the accountability falls on you. So you need to make sure that you take an approach to be able to demonstrate that you are providing governance and you're providing oversight and guidance to the implementers, being the IT resources, in terms of how cyber risk is handled within your organization.
Mm-hmm. And I think these questions too can unearth whether you have a good IT service provider, assuming that you outsource all or a portion of your IT to another company, or whether you have one that is maybe not so good. Not all companies are created equal. Not all IT managed service providers are equal as well. So some accountability in there will only serve you well. And it's maybe leads to a decision to actually part ways with your current provider and find someone who is more competent and more security conscious.
Exactly. You know, and the one thing I'll add to that, like you mentioned there, they're not all created equal. And there's some great IT MSPs which are great at IT operations and maybe some very rudimentary basic level security operations. Again, as a business owner, as a business executive, you know, starting with that dialogue, starting with those questions that we laid out there, that'll help you understand if you need to sort of step your game up in terms of with the IT resources that you have. If they're not able to fulfill it from that point of view, that could be a serious indicator that you need to sort of move on and find a better partner when it comes to, you know, again, IT, cybersecurity, and managing cyber risk.
Excellent. So we will leave it at that for today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv, or you can actually find our podcast, which is Cybersecurity Matters, on the Conversations That Matter YouTube channel under Conversations That Matter playlist, as well as anywhere you normally listen to podcasts. And we will see you next week.